Tuesday morning to you, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon Podcast. Since it is Tuesday, this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode several years ago. Thanks for downloading, and I sure hope you enjoy it. 50 years ago this month, October 2012, a freakishly massive weather system descended on Oregon and did so much damage that its memory is still fairly fresh today. As you likely know, the Columbus Day storm was a fading typhoon, still well over hurricane strength, but by Caribbean standards pretty average, that showed up unexpectedly and made a big mess in western Oregon on October 12th of 1962. But, of course, the main reason the storm did so much damage is that Oregon is not known as a place where you have to worry about hurricanes of any size. Nor do we get those high plains storms with hailstones the size of golf balls, or tornadoes that vacuum up houses full of Dorothys and Totos, or dust storms that you can't see the house through. What counts for bad weather in Oregon, the western part anyway, is gray dreariness, not run-for-your-life deadly drama, right? Well, turns out, that's not entirely true. Oregon's had some wild and grim weather events through the years. But whereas folks in other places have long since made their peace with deadly weather, by building storm cellars, for instance, the bad stuff, when it arrives in Oregon, always carries with it the element of surprise, because we just don't get stuff like the following. Item 1. Hurricane-like storms. Well, yeah, the Columbus Day storm certainly fits into this category, but so does an earlier storm, one that killed considerably more people, although we have no record of how strong it really was. That storm lit into the extreme northwest corner of Oregon in May 1880, ironically just 5 months after another massive storm, known simply as the Great Gale, struck the same area. Records on this May storm are sketchy, mostly consisting of newspaper stories. But like the Columbus Day storm, it was actually more than one storm. And again, like the legendary 62 event, it happened under relatively untroubled-looking skies right up until it pounced. When it did, it caught virtually the entire Lower Columbia salmon fishing fleet out on the river bar, nets in the water, miles and miles from the safety of the shoreline, and still being carried seaward by the ebbing tide. Dozens of little 24-foot fishing boats were swamped and their crews drowned. Dozens more, in desperation, cut their nets loose and pulled for shore. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. Then the next day, the storm abated just in time for the fishing tide, and more fishermen went out on the bar, and the storm kicked back up, just like the day before, taking a fresh batch of victims to the bottom. The Daily Astorian at the time said about 60 fishermen drowned in those 2 days. Other sources put the number even higher. This, by the way, was the year in which something like 1 out of every 10 fishermen working out of Astoria on the Lower Columbia drowned before the end of the season. 1880 was a terrible year for Astoria. Item 2 on our list of things that Oregon never gets. Flash floods. Remember those size XXXL hailstones that I mentioned a little bit ago? Some of those hailstones visited Heppner, Oregon in 1903 and killed 247 people. Here's how. Heppner was going about its business on June 14, 1903. It was a typical early summer day, but a storm was moving in, and soon those big hailstones were falling on the town. Everyone ran inside, of course, to avoid a pummeling. The hailstones kept falling on Heppner, keeping up a steady roar, making sure the people in the houses couldn't hear the wall of water that was racing down the canyon toward the residential district of the town. When the water struck, it picked up houses and carried them helplessly downstream and deposited them in giant, flattened heaps of sticks and splinters and flesh and bone. The survival rate for people caught indoors when the waters hit was very low. Estimates for the size of the wall of water range from a ludicrous 50 feet high down to an equally ludicrous 6. Whatever it really was, it was enough. 1 out of every 6 Heppner residents died. It was the deadliest non-dam-related flash flood in U.S. history, and the deadliest weather-related event in Oregon's recorded history. And item number 3 on our list of stuff we don't get. Tornadoes. Tornadoes? So many people in Oregon seem to think that we just don't get these. But residents of the town of Almsville know better, and so does almost everyone nearby. Just 2 years ago, a big fat funnel cloud put down its giant gray nozzle and vacuumed the roofs off of 20 or 30 buildings. It also bowled over dozens of trees and pulled some houses off their foundations. The National Weather Service estimated the winds were in the 110 to 120 mile an hour range. Miraculously, no one was killed or even hurt. Another less damaging tornado snuck ashore in Lincoln City in the middle of a stormy January night back in 1996. Residents woke up the next morning to find it had visited the parking lot of a manufactured home dealership, where it had picked up one house and set it down on top of another. It had also apparently scooped up a bunch of fish from the ocean and dropped them in a nearby parking lot. Again, nobody was hurt other than the fish. Older residents may remember an earlier tornado, too, in which that was not the case. In 1972, a really large tornado, large for Oregon at any rate, by Midwestern standards it was pretty average, but this tornado formed over North Portland, blowing north toward Vancouver. Just as it reached the Columbia River, it dropped a funnel cloud down to the ground. Luckily for Oregon, all it did was trash a marina full of unoccupied cabin cruisers. But Washington wasn't so lucky. After crossing the Columbia River, the tornado lit into Vancouver and made a beeline for an elementary school. It destroyed the school, flattened a nearby bowling alley, damaged a number of homes, and carved a 9-mile gash into East Vancouver before petering out. Behind it, it left 6 people dead and 70 elementary school students injured. Winds were estimated in the 160 to 200 mile an hour range. It was the worst tornado in recorded West Coast history. So yes, we get tornadoes. Just not often enough for us to be expecting them when they come. In fact, according to the National Weather Service, there have been a total of just 69 of them in the past 115 years. Depending on how you spin that, that's either a ridiculously low number or a frighteningly high one. Some other big events that have happened in Oregon when they were least expected. In the category of non-weather-related natural disasters, Oregon also has a few tricks to play. For instance, it was only a little over 100 years ago that big, snowy, mild-mannered Mount Hood was an active volcano, periodically shooting fire into the sky and sprinkling the area with ash. And of course, we can't forget about the Cascadia earthquake, a magnitude 9 monster that brought a giant tsunami ashore along the northwest coast 312 years ago, and which scientists say is due to repeat itself sometime in the next century or two. So yes, in general, Oregon weather is nice and mild, if a bit damp and sometimes a little gusty. But don't be fooled, it can get ugly. And when it does, it usually catches us with our guard down. This article was first published on October 7th of 2012 under the headline Deadly Weather Catches Oregon by Surprise When It Comes. Key sources include works by Bob Den Ouden in the Oregon Historical Quarterly, National Weather Service reports, and the archives of the Daily Astorian. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. More info is at our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house about which more can be learned at pulp-lit.com. Speaking of which, if you enjoy listening to me, you might check out some of my audiobooks. You can find them most easily with a search for my name on audible.com. Most of them are old pulp stuff, H.P. Lovecraft, Edgar Rice Burroughs, etc., but at least 2 of them are Offbeat Oregon history type stuff. Check them out if you're so inclined. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.